Thank you, Lord. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to Genesis 26. And we're going to be starting at verse 12. We're continuing on with our tithes and offering. We're at P, and P is for prosper. And actually it says prosper, continuing to prosper, and very prosperous. But I didn't have enough room. So prosper, continuing to prosper, and very prosperous. Say that with me. Prosper, continuing to prosper, and very prosperous. This is one of the reasons why we tithe. Okay? We tithe because our needs need to be met. Amen? And the Lord has already promised to meet our needs. But as part of Abraham's seed, we are also called to be blessed, to be a blessing. Amen? And so we can't get this picture in our mind that says we have to be poor. We can't get this picture in our mind that says we have limits. Okay? Well, I'm a certain age, so I have a limit. No. There are no limits in the kingdom of God. If you will give the Lord first place in your life, and you will give your tithes and your offerings, then you open the floodgates of heaven and you pour out a blessing on your life because of that, that you cannot contain. Amen? Nowhere in that verse do I read because of your age, because of your situation, because of the place where you were born, because none of that is in there. Amen? It just says, if you do this, then this will happen. Amen? So we're going to look at Isaac this morning. And in verse 12 it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year. Say same year. Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Say 100-fold. Okay, so first of all, if you've ever planted a crop before, let's just say strawberries. Anybody ever tried to do strawberries in their backyard? How many do you get that first year? Do you get 100-fold? Not in the natural, right? You might get maybe, I don't know, maybe enough for one bowl of strawberries. But each year, it continues to grow, amen? And each year there gets to be more and more and more that you harvest, amen? That's the way it normally works. But how many people know we don't deal with a normal system as Christians? Say amen. That should be so freeing to us. We don't live in the normal, amen? We live in the supernatural. And it says that he, in the same year, he reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Say the Lord blessed him. Say the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is no respecter of persons. The Lord blessed him. Verse 13, it says, the man began to prosper. Say prosper. And continued prospering. Say continued prospering. Until he became very prosperous. He just keeps prospering. Amen. Sometimes I've met people before and they'll be like, well, the Lord gave me a blessing, you know, back when I was in my 20s and that's it. Somebody say, not me. No, I prosper. I continue prospering until I'm very prosperous. Amen. Why is this so important for us? Well, you'll keep reading on and you'll notice that the Philistines around him started noticing what God was doing in his life. And they started going, wait a minute, you're mightier than we are. Get out of here. His enemies didn't want him around anymore. Amen. But because of Jesus now, we're not the people around us enemies. Amen. We're their light. We bring the light of Jesus. So you should be shining so brightly in your prosperity, people are going to take notice. Why is this important? So you can testify. You can testify of the goodness of God. You can say to them, listen, I am a tither and a giver. My needs are met. I have more than enough. What do you need? What? You want to give me something? Absolutely. God has put you on my heart. I want to bless you. Do you see how this opens up a door? It takes some people's theology and it just rattles it. What? What? God gave you so much, you want to bless me too? Yes. yes, how much is your mortgage? You know, we might laugh and joke and giggle about that, but no, I'm believing for the day the Redeemed Church people are so blessed, we just start blessing other people, like radically blessing other people. Somebody's going to do it. Why not us? Amen? Because you know the difference that's going to make in that person's life? A huge weight is lifted when someone doesn't have to pay their mortgage anymore. Amen? That's freedom. And that's freedom that we can give to them. And what are you saying? The Lord bless me. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I am prosperous. I continue to prosper. And I am very prosperous. Amen? It brings something to someone. It almost creates joy in their life. It's like a woohoo. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can I share your story, Joni? Is that okay? Is that all right? So yesterday, Joni had a very wonderful blessing that she shared. She's like, something exciting happened to me this week, okay? Her sister-in-law works for a bigger company in Seattle, and she got a huge blessing. So she called Joni and her sister and said, guys, plan a vacation, and the vacation is all on me. Joni was like, I'm so excited. Now all we have to do is figure out where we're going. She was blessed because of the blessing that had overflowed from her sister-in-law. That blessing overflowed on her, changed her whole week. She was grinning from ear to ear. Why? Because it opened up something in her life. It opened up a door for her to be able to walk in the blessing of God. Amen? Now that's a seed that is in Joni's life. And you know what I'm believing for? I'm believing for the seed that's going to overflow in her life, that she's going to start calling people and saying, hey, plan a vacation anywhere you want. I'm paying for it. Amen? Do you see what this does? If you stretch your thinking, we can be vessels that God can move through and flow through to touch people's lives for eternity. Joni is never going to forget this. She's never going to forget it. She's never going to forget what it felt like. We've had blessings in our lives, and I'm never going to forget what it felt like to have that blessing. Amen? But don't stop there. Don't stop with the prosper. Continue prospering so that you're very prosperous, so you are the one doing the giving. Amen? Somebody say, I am prosperous. I am continuing to prosper. I am very prosperous because I am blessed to be a blessing. Woo! Aren't you so glad that God created tithes and offerings? He gave us a way to step into this abundant life. I am so grateful. I don't care what anybody tells me, you'll never be able to rip tithing out of my heart. Never. Because everywhere I turn in the Word, it's there. And the blessings that come from it are in people's lives all around me. That didn't just pass away. No. God is still moving and He's still working. I know some of you in this room might be thinking, yeah, but don't do that. Get that yeah, but out of your head, okay? Do not limit yourself by what you have coming in. Do not do that. Do not do that. I believe as a tither and a giver, you can get supernatural blessings that come out of nowhere that you never even realized were there. Things that you're going to get checks in the mail for things you're like, what? What is this? Blessings from the Lord that He can pour out upon you. He doesn't need to have a specific way to get that blessing to you. Do you know that? He's creative. He can send birds to drop it in your backyard. Amen. He can create something new like the manna in the wilderness and bring that money in. He is not limited. He can take the very little that you have and multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply until you have more than enough to pay every bill in your life. He is not limited. So do not let that yeah, but hold you back. Just say no to that. Absolutely no. I am going to prosper. I'm going to continue prospering until I am very prosperous, so I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Woo! Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. God, I believe this is going to set us free in our lives if we will just take off the roof that the world has put on us, that you can only go so far. Lord, this all happened in 1 year in Isaac's life. 1 year. God, we just thank you that in a year from now, we're going to look back and go, wow, we thought we were prospering then, but we continued to prosper, and now we are so prosperous that we can bless other people. Father, I thank you for every seed that is sown today, 100-fold harvest, just like Isaac, 100-fold harvest. He walked in obedience, and he went to where you told him to go, and he planted his seed where you told him to plant it. Father, I believe the people here in this room were told to come here. They're planting their seed where they were told to plant it, and there is going to be the 100-fold harvest in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the blessings that you've already done. But God, we know your word says continued prosperity, continued prosperity, continued prosperity. So we call it in. Angels go out to the north, south, east, and the west and bring in the continued prosperity into our lives, Father. I pray for every person in this room that is on what the world would call a fixed income. Father, they are on a fixed road to prosperity. A fixed road to prosperity. They are going to be so blessed in this next year that they're going to be able to give to people that have always been the prosperous ones in their lives. They're going to turn it around and be blessed to be a blessing back to them. We just thank you, Father. No limitations. No limitations in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, Father. And we will be careful to give you the praise and glory out loud to others, Lord. That all that wealth, all that prosperity comes from you. And we praise you for it in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. All right, boys, you can grab the offering. Really quickly, I wanted to talk to you while they're doing that about Mission Sunday. Most of you already know, but we'll just go over it again. We don't bring you in here on Mission Sunday and give you a sob story so that you give a big pledge. No, we ask that you, in advance, pray and ask the Lord, what am I to give this next year? Amen? So you're giving with joy, but you're also giving with wisdom. Amen? Amen? So be praying and asking the Lord, what am I to give this year for my tithes and, or for my missions giving? Again, you'll write it down on a piece of paper, we'll take your pledge, and you have an entire year to be able to pay that pledge off. Amen? So be praying and be excited. We have some awesome stories that are rolling in about the different places. Togo's got some great stories going on. So God is good. All right.
Amen and amen. Well, before we dismiss the kids and you, we're going to pray over the tithes and offerings here. Lindsay, I'll put you on the spot. Do you feel comfortable about praying a Spanish prayer over the offering? Come on up. Lindsay is, you can grab your handheld mic, yeah. And we're going to, you know, Cinco de Mayo, bienvenidos, gloria a Dios, Cristo salva. That's about as far as I get.
Well, they don't really celebrate it, but it's okay. We'll just pray.
Well, but we do, right? Okay. So anyway. Yes. Just pray a blessing in God in Spanish over the tithes and offerings, and then you can share with us what you said.
Okay. En el nombre de Jesús, yo pido, Señor, que bendice a esta ofrenda, Señor, y te pido que hace que se multiplica y que cada persona que ha dado hoy recibirá la bendición en sus vidas. Y Señor, te pido que cada promesa que ha prometido a nosotros va a cumplir, y eso es una bendición sobre nuestras vidas. Y yo oro todo eso en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Amén. And that's
in a nutshell, I just said thank you, Lord, for blessing this offering, and you're faithful to your word. So we just pray that he blesses it and gives us back what he promised, and that every person who gave today will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracias. Aww. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo! Somebody say, Gloria a Dios. Amen. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. Amen. And we can go ahead and dismiss the children and the youth today. God is so good. And he's so faithful. So let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I believe this may be the concluding message as far as I know. I mean, Jesus is the commander-in-chief, right? But this message that we've been on for, this might be the fifth week or so, entitled One Way. Somebody say, One Way. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. I mean, if you're looking for the way to heaven, that is, I guess we should not just assume that everyone is looking for the way to heaven, you know? But for those who are, and I assume I'm in good company here in the church, there is one way there. Amen? I've heard it said this way, you know, over the years by evangelists, that there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to avoid. Hallelujah. I've heard, you know, people teach on motivation techniques and the fight or flight. And they say some people are motivated by pleasure and others are motivated by pain. So whatever it takes, does someone want to avoid pain? One way. Somebody say one way. Does someone want an eternity of the pleasures and blessings of God? Somebody say one way. It's Jesus. Amen. And our foundation text has been John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said this. He said, I am the way. Not that he knows the way. He is the way. Isn't it cool when, you know, sometimes people, I mean, like up in Seattle, I don't know if it's still the case now, but it probably is. But one of the greatest, maybe the greatest to this point, designated hitter of all time, Edgar Martinez, who was just an amazing Seattle Mariner for a number of years. And when they built the new stadium, they named one of the main streets that goes right by the stadium, they named it Edgar Martinez Drive, because he hit a lot of drives. Amen. If you want to get to the stadium, you have to take part, you know, if you're going that direction, you got to take Edgar Martinez Drive. He is, the road is named after him, right? So the road is named after him. Well, Jesus is the way to heaven, the only way there. Amen. And that, and to many people nowadays, that seems very, very narrow-minded. But how many know the narrow is the way that leads to life? And it says, few are those who find it. Right? Now, it doesn't believe we're believing God for small things. We got to be really watchful that we don't just take scriptures like that and think that, well, that means we should just have a church of 17 people because everyone else out there just is going to hate God. And we can't have assumptions like that. Otherwise, scripture is about preaching the gospel. And scriptures like thousands were added to the church. Amen? But it is a choice. And in the church, across the world, we have to be really, really watchful that we're not watering down the choice, dumbing down the choice, dimming down the light. We talked about the word for eclipse. Right, where you're trying to just not make the truth so shiny and bright and sharp, because we don't want to offend people. We got bills to pay and people pressuring us from the outside and you know all these issues going on. How many know the church needs to keep their eye on the way? ministers, ministries, and in our own homes. We've got to really be sharp about keeping our eye on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there is no other way other than Him. Amen. And we can't start acting like there could be other ways. Well, who am I to say that Jesus is the only way? Well, I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. Amen, right? Hallelujah. I am the way, He said, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say, no one. Does that include everyone? Yeah. No one except certain nationalities or certain, you know, economic groups or, you know, certain, you know, who God feels sorry for, they're an except. No. Somebody say, no one includes everybody. Right? No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Well, I want to focus on a couple specific things today that the Lord put on my heart to look at. And if you want to open your Bible to John chapter 3. But Jesus is the way of salvation. We want to speak these words. And I know in a lot of ways I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But, you know, part of the reason why I joined the choir back in the day was because I wanted more Jesus in my life. I needed more Jesus in my life. I was like, I have to join the choir so I'll be closer to the fire. Amen? Because I got stuff that needs to be burned out of my life, right? But we're also, it's important to note that when we come to church, when God gives us a message, yes, it's for us. Absolutely, it's for us. But we're speaking words, and words are spirit. And it's also for spirits to hear. Because this room is full of angels, and there are also demonic forces that have ears. There's diseases that have ears. Amen. And issues. And so when we're proclaiming these things, we're setting the record straight in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And giving angels orders. And demons, threats, right? And we're speaking this into our own lives. Hallelujah. So when we say the phrase, Jesus is the way of salvation, that sounds so Sesame Street. But if you haven't noticed, Sesame Street needs help right now. Sesame Street, Disney, all these places that were supposed to be innocent and about children are now have gone the way of Psychoville. So even Sesame Street needs to hear the truth, amen? And Disney and the like. But it begins with the church, is the point. Amen? So Acts chapter 16, verse 17, if you hold your place there in John chapter 3. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. We're going to look at several places in the Bible today. How many know it's good to use the Bible, right? But Acts chapter 16, verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Now this is a demon-possessed girl that wicked men are using to make money with fortune telling. So her misfortune was making them a fortune. Does that sound familiar to any in modern days right now, where kids are being used to make money? Whether it's trafficking, whether it's aborting, whether it's transgenderizing. This is straight up evil stuff, man. And evil stuff, after a while, turns into judgment of God stuff. Lane, can you bring me that picture over there? We're going to talk about this in just a moment here. We'll just set it like right here. One of my favorite movies and stories. You might catch on to it in a minute here. We'll come back to that. So this girl is following Paul and his ministry team hollering out, "These men are the servants of the Most." How many know the devil knows the truth? So just because a devil is hollering stuff out there and it sounds, you know, good, that we shouldn't be, you know, following the leadership of demonic forces, right? But this girl, I believe she wanted to be free, man, right? "These men are the servants of the Most High God," and then she said, "who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Hallelujah. What's his name again? Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. And she got free. And it got Paul arrested. Oh, hallelujah. How many know it's a backward society where law-abiding citizens have threats of imprisonment? There was one lady on Flashpoint this past week who's a grandmother who walked into the state capitol on January 6th doing nothing, just following everyone, and they sentenced her to a prison sentence. These people are cuckoo, man. Right? Now, we don't condone violence, and there were some people that went way overboard, right? But the majority of the people that are incarcerated, I agree with President Trump, are hostages. While they're allowing criminals on the streets, criminals across the borders of our country, we understand these things, right? But we don't accept them, and we speak out against these things. And we vote accordingly. And we stand up for the integrity of the vote. Hallelujah, right? Amen. In doing this, we're standing, literally standing up for children. And somebody, how many know, somebody needs to stand up and speak up for kids in this nation, right? And it can't be, you know, transgender, you know, transvestite story hour. This stuff is just, it's you have to laugh about it because it is so bizarre, right? Amen. But John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Somebody say, Jesus is the way of salvation. Well, what does that mean? It means there's no one else that's going to save me. Nobody else died for my sins. Nobody else rose again 3 days later. No one else forgave me of all the trash that was in my life. Nobody could. And I couldn't fix myself. I needed a Savior. How many know step one is understanding I need a Savior? I can't fix myself. I need help. And how many know there's no other help besides Him? He is the only way. So verses 1 through 15. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. How many know even people in authority need help, need to be saved, right? This man came to Jesus by night. Why by night? Well, he might have... there's politics involved here. You know what's interesting is I read where Nicodemus was actually with Joseph of Arimathea when they took him off the cross. He didn't care then. So there were good Pharisees. They just were under a lot of pressure, right? This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again," somebody say born again, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" And I believe Jesus is asking pastors this same question. Are you a pastor and you have a rainbow on your logo? Are you a pastor and you're teaching your people that there's multiple ways of salvation? You don't have to repent? I don't want to answer to that one. Hallelujah. We pray for him. Hallelujah. "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, how do you not believe? How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes," somebody say whoever. Whoever, does that include everybody? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. So therefore, we can say whoever does not believe in him does not have eternal life. Could it be possible that there are ministries, churches, that are preaching other ways to God, that are saying you can choose other ways and still make heaven your home? That is a lie from the pit of hell. Somebody say one way. There's one way out. I love my mom. We had a family friend, a neighbor years ago, who was outspoken unbeliever and knew my mom was an outspoken believer. Friends. It's good to have friends like this. Friends. We can disagree and still be friends. We don't hate you. We don't want you dead. We just hate some of the things they're saying and promoting to children, but we don't want them dead. Nothing like that. No, we want them to turn to Jesus. Well, this man got in a conversation with my mom, and he's like, "Okay, Beverly, you and me are by ourselves in a building on fire. Which one of us are you going to save?" My mom's answer to him was, "I'd save you, because I know I'm going to heaven." Oh. And you know, not too many years later, we heard that man drop dead in his house. Just, I believe he remembered that conversation. See, we don't know. Some people may cry out to God in that, but if they don't have a frame of reference, because a so-called Christian said, you know, it really doesn't matter. Somebody say, it matters. It matters. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going someplace here, amen? We're going to head out into the open seas in a minute here. We'll see. First Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. How many believe Peter is a credible source? Walked with Jesus. He wasn't all that graceful at times, but who is, right? But he received grace from God because he knew where to turn. When he drifted away, he knew how to turn back. Amen? Some people might feel that you're listening to this message now and you feel like you're a million miles from Jesus. But guess what? You might have made a million mistakes plus one, but it's one step back. Just say, "Jesus," and you're back. Hallelujah. Now that's glorious. Amen. I remember, who was it? Mark Hankins or somebody was talking about, or maybe it was Brother Hagin, said, if you're digging a hole and you're digging yourself a hole and you're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. You dig? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Somebody say, I'm born again. Not of incorruptible seed, or not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Somebody say, born again people live forever. Even if they die, they're still alive in a place called heaven. I'm doing a memorial service this next Saturday for my aunt's sister, who went on home to be with Jesus, you know, and she's with God in heaven. She's with my uncle and my cousins, and I know we all know people who are there. Heaven is a real place, a place of peace, a place of absolute authority of God. Amen. And born again people go there. Somebody say, that sounds like me. Why? Because you received the incorruptible seed. See, when we were all conceived, you know, and were born naturally into this world, we were born into sin. Right? Because this world is full of sin. And the only way out is through the incorruptible seed. That's why Jesus, it says, was born of a virgin. Right? The seed of the word of God impregnated that girl with her permission. He didn't force himself. It wasn't a forced thing. She heard the word and she said, yes, I'll do this. I don't understand it, but I'll do it. Hallelujah. And that baby grew up and became Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty God, died on the cross, rose again 3 days later, sent the Holy Ghost to fill his church. He is the incorruptible seed. So when you get born again, you get into the I am family, into God's family, the family of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. That's called being spiritually reborn. So yes, we need to be born first into this world, and then we get born again by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. That's the difference. Amen. That's the difference between you and the rest of the world. You received him. You received that word of God, and you are eternally secure, going to heaven, no question about it. Hallelujah. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by the gospel we preach to you. Amen. See, the gospel needs to be preached. That's why we sow, that's why we give, that's why we tithe and give offerings, is so this gospel can be preached. So someone else has the opportunity to hear and to receive and to get born again into God's kingdom and escape hell. Amen. Well, this is where we wanted to get to, I believe, with this message today. I want to talk about the eternal importance of choosing Jesus, the way of life. If Jesus is the way of life, then any other way that's ever been brought up would be the way to what? Death. Amen. This is a very serious thing. Romans 6:23, you can open your Bibles to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but Romans 6:23 says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore I have a choice. I can choose the wages of sin or the gift of God. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus has the power in it to wash away every sin, to cleanse me of every fault? Amen? There's nothing else that can do that. No amount of good works, no amount of good behavior. Only the blood of Jesus can do that, right? So to choose Jesus means we're choosing eternal life. To choose not to believe him means, by default, then my sins are still there, that I'm still condemned with sin. Because sin, the Bible says, has been condemned. So to identify, the word identify is big right now with the world. Another word the devil is perverting. How many of the devil is a pervert, man? He is twisted, sick, psycho, wicked pervert. So to identify with sin means I have I'm condemned to eternal death. And death doesn't just mean you die and go to sleep and go into this state of non-existence. That's why some of these, you know, demon-possessed people that choose to go in and start shooting people and then they kill themselves because they think they're going to escape. No. You're just entering now into judgment. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Sin is a serious thing, man. The world is making way too light. But here's the problem. You ready for the problem? The church is making way too light where sin is concerned. I shared the picture my father-in-law, Larry, brought to me last week or week before, and he drew sin, S-I-N, and he took a circle and put a slash through S, and he says, when God gets the S out of your life, you're in. But sin has to be removed, and Steve can't do that by himself. Yeah, we repent. Yeah, we obey the word of God. Absolutely. But we don't do that to try to remove our own sin. We do that because we're saved and we love Jesus and we're following after him and we're putting things behind us by the power of the Holy Ghost and an act of our will. But somebody say, the blood of Jesus is what did the work. The blood of Jesus is what separated me from hell forever and qualifies you for heaven forever. Amen. But 1 Thessalonians, now look at this. This is what happens to believers. I want us to look at the two resurrections. Because there is a resurrection for the saved, and there's a resurrection for the unsaved. It's good to end with the end in mind, or begin with the end in mind, or however you want to say it, right? 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to read 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. See, he doesn't even call people who are dead in Christ dead. He calls them asleep. That's why it's fun sometimes when you drive by a cemetery to just start talking to the cemetery. Hey, all you believers out there, all the remains, you're going to come out of there. Are you listening for the trumpet? Lacey said she heard a trumpet yesterday at work. She works at the chocolate, sees chocolate. And she heard a trumpet outside, and she thought, could it be now? Am I launching out of C's candy? Yeah. And she had no idea where it came from. We started talking about, well, you know, maybe the angels are doing drills out there. This is just a drill, just a drill. Make sure the trumpet's working. Because here we go, verse 16. Now, this is not make-believe. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Somebody say, there it is. Then we who are all alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is an amazing event to remember. In fact, on God's calendar, this is what's next. We're at the end of the church age right now. That's why the church needs to keep their eye on the finish line. It's like being in a relay race. You don't just slow down when you get the baton handed to you. You accelerate toward the finish line. I had a couple of our missionary friends reach out to me this past week, Randy and Louie, you know, out in Baja, California, the Michlers. And he was just wanting to thank you again for the, you guys gave $10,000 last year, or I can't remember exactly when, recently, to buy them a brand new Toyota truck. And he said, I'm driving the truck right now, delivering an appliance to a place, I think it takes care of kids. And he's like, there's no way I could have done this without what you guys are doing. And I got a letter in the mail from Akira in Japan. And he was saying, he sent me a picture. He was singing in a public place. And he said, you know, we can't preach from this public place. We can't talk about politics, but they don't have any problem with me singing hymns. And he said, I just want to remind you to finish strong. To be an example for the, he got people out there that are younger than me watching me. And he said, just a reminder, people are watching us and we need to finish strong. Hallelujah. Why? Because the trumpet is going to blast. And we will all be gathered together in the clouds to meet with Jesus and the family of God. And thus it says, we shall always, somebody say always, be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now that's what happens to believers. And we know that after this point, there is a 7-year tribulation, because the world doesn't stop. Right? There's a 7-year tribulation period where the Antichrist rises up and everyone has to get a mark on their hand or their forehead to buy or sell. This is not science fiction anymore, by the way. How many know they can know where your car is? They know where you have who has a phone, right? There's ways they can follow, and not to say there's any. I'm sure there's just absolutely no one watching you, right? Right, but the point is, a few years ago, that technology was like Star Wars. Not any longer. Right. And we know how that plays out, that the Antichrist, even in his most wicked self, will not finish 2 terms. If it were President of the United States terms, 4 years, he won't finish 2 terms. He'll be finished in 7. Why? Because 7 is a Bible number that means completion. Oh, man, the numbers in the Bible are significant. And here's what happens. Turn to Revelation 20. Right? This is right after the body of Christ returns to the planet. Why? Because guess why? The devil is trying to destroy Israel again. He's taken his biggest swing ever now. And in fact, it's hopeless. except for the family of God returning from heaven. The first time we're in the clouds, now we're on the ground. Now the world sees him coming. Oh, my. Glory to God. And saves the day. I mean, this is biblical prophecy. Amen? Coming soon to a planet near you. Hallelujah. I've told the church before, I want to be on the horse next to John Wayne. Right? Because Jesus is going to say, all right, we've had the judgment seat of Christ, the awards banquet. Hell is trying to break loose on planet Earth right now. And our next order from the Father is saddle up! Oh! And I'm going to sit, I hope so at least. I'm going to get the horse right, at least near to John Wayne. And just hear him go, yo! And down we'll come. Running the devil and his henchmen out. Somebody say out. And setting up for the 1,000-year reign on this planet. This is part of the word of God, right? Anyway, that's where chapter 20 picks up. This is where the end of unsaved, this is the point. We saw the rapture, that's where Christians rise again. This is where non-Christians rise again. Right? Because their bodies, make no mistake about it, hell is a complete judgment. Body, soul, and spirit. Heaven is a complete blessing, body, soul, and spirit. So people aren't escaping hell, man. They think what they're doing out there is never going to get checked. Oh, no. There is, even if every judge on this planet was for sale and corrupt, the judge, capital J, keeps very, very, very good, accurate records. And every one of those things, if they don't get saved, every one of those things, there's an eternal consequence. That's why we call this the eternal importance of choosing Jesus. Amen? So he says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, chapter 20, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Somebody say, shut up, devil. I love that. And shut him up. Notice God didn't even take the time to do this himself. He just sent an angel. It doesn't even say an archangel. I could almost see Michael, this, hey, who's the new angel? Grab the chain. I don't even want to touch him. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations anymore. What's this till thing, right? Till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Interesting. You see, when we hear about ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, there must be something to rule and reign over. There's still going to be a sea of humanity on this planet during this time, right? And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness for Jesus and the word of God. A lot of martyrs, right? Especially during that tribulation time. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. See, when someone takes that mark, that is the eternal judgment of God. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Here we go, verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Somebody say that's the end of the seventh day. God time. To God, a day is as 1,000 years. From the time of Adam until the end of the 1,000-year reigns, 7 complete days. Somebody say completion. Right? This is the first resurrection. He's talking about the believers, right? Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Somebody say, that's us. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Imagine this. Why? Does that make us afraid? As we've been reigning and ruling for, are we going to go, oh no? Can you see King David saying, oh no? Or Samson? Or Esther? Or any of the other heroes of the faith? No, we know what's going to happen. Here we go. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. There's still going to be people on this planet without a devil that still hate him. Can you imagine this? How bizarre. I mean, things that are happening now, definitely bizarre. Even more bizarre. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded, verse 9, the camp of the saints and of the beloved city. Right? Hate him so much. Hate him so much. That spirit of lawlessness and hatred, it's really, you know, you can blame the devil for stuff to a certain degree, but it's really the human heart, man. The human heart. Patsy Caminiti said, the same sun that softens butter hardens clay. So the same God that, you know, to us is, oh, Abba Father, to others it's, no! Can you, human beings I'm talking about. It's beyond comprehension. But this is the end of the seventh day. God has given humanity time to repent, right? And it says this. See, now, here's where God the Father steps in. Family, step aside. This is my turn now, right? And it says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Then, here we go. Then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Somebody say, uh-oh. Anybody who thought they were getting away with it, nope. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. This is not the body of Christ. This is people who were not born again, who rejected God. By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. I mean, this is the final judgment. People who are in Hades, their spirits are reunited to their bodies, and they stand before the throne of God. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Somebody say, second death. Right? This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, I mean, we're talking about human beings, was cast into the lake of fire. So we see the eternal importance of choosing Jesus. And somebody say, now's a good time. Now is a good time to choose him. And I want to close with, this came to me this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20 says this, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. Somebody say, cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. But that word cling to him, the word cling means words like adhere closely, stick to, hold fast, tight, remain close, remain attached. Some synonyms are words like fasten, stick, hang on to, stick like glue. And don't you know, these two events we just talked about, we have to understand something. Everything evil, everything bad, everything cursed sticks to the devil. I mean, it sticks to him. It's stuck to him like glue. It just is like magnetized. And all of his followers, they are going to be drawn into him until that final judgment takes them down. On the other hand, Christians, those who love Jesus, who are born again, all the blessings of God, all the miracles of God, all the joy of the peace is drawing you closer and closer and drawing you up, 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 up. Because everything that is good is attached to him. And we watched the movie Moby Dick last night, the old one, with, what was the actor's name? Gregory Peck, 1956. He was a good Captain Ahab. But I have this picture. I think Luke gave this to me a few years ago. How many know the curse is not what we want? But Ahab, if you know the story of Moby Dick, he was so consumed with vengeance and hate and spite. He was actually starting to look like Moby Dick. The scar on his face and his hair was turning white, and one of his legs was made of the jawbone of a whale. And he is just literally so consumed with hatred and spite that instead of doing what they were supposed to be doing on this voyage, just getting oil from whales to help, you know, supply oil to lamps and all these kind of things and do something productive for society, the whole voyage became about the pursuit of the curse. The pursuit of evil. The pursuit, literally, the pursuit of death. And death just drew him and drew him and drew him until it killed him. In fact, at the end of the movie, he is attached to the whale. Bound to the whale. Stuck to the whale. One with the whale. His reward was death. And there was one officer, Starbuck, who questioned him repeatedly. Ahab, I advise you to be aware of yourself more than the whale. You're leading us into death, sir. But at the end, even Starbuck, he had two boats full of guys, and they're watching Ahab dead, attached to the whale. Even Starbuck said, let's get the whale! He could have turned him back, went back to the ship, saved a bunch of lives, but he fell for the deception at the end. Even though he seemed like, he was contrite. He seemed like he would have made the right decision. Somebody say, I want to be attached to Jesus. I choose him. I'm going up. And as we pray this morning, let's all stand up. We're just going to believe God that anything from our past, any sin issues, anything that's been stuck to us, that's been attached to us, or our families, our nation. I mean, why limit it? That we're going to believe God in the name and by the power of the blood of Jesus to sever those attachments. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So just lift your hands to the Lord. And let's just make a fresh commitment. Just say, Father God, I thank you. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I will serve you all the days of my life. I will not water down the truth. I will not dim the light. I will stay sharp and bright for you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I sever any ties from the past, any issues, anything of the curse, anything of the devil, anything sent from hell to hold me back. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I shake it off, and I'm free from it. I know, Lord, that it would not send me to hell because I'm forgiven, I'm washed, but I want no attachment to the devil whatsoever. I receive my freedom, and I pray this same prayer over my entire family. I bind Satan and his efforts to steal, kill, and destroy in any area of my family. And I say the same thing over my nation, that Satan's plan will fall. And all those who would go with him, they will be severed and cut off, so that the righteousness of God prevails again in this land. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody just thank him and praise him today. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you for the freedom that is in Christ. We commit ourselves to follow you faithfully every day. Be great intercessors, praying in the Holy Ghost, binding the devil, loosening the power of God in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.